They say that history is written by the victors, and those victors sometimes omit certain inconvenient facts. But we're about to meet a Seattle woman determined to correct the record. First, we need a quick refresher on the historical chapter in question. It's the Civil War in El Salvador. Back in the early 80s, poor Salvadorans were pushing for their government to redistribute wealth. To the cold warriors in the U.S., that sounded like a big old communist power grab. For President Ronald Reagan, this was an alarming development right in his backyard.
Central America's problems do directly affect the security and the well-being of our own people. And Central America is much closer to the United States than many of the world trouble spots that concern us. So, we work to restore our own economy. We cannot afford to lose sight of our neighbors to the south. El Salvador is nearer to Texas than Texas is to Massachusetts.
A civil war broke out in El Salvador, pitting the so-called leftist guerrillas against the government and military. The U.S. sided with the Salvadoran government. So that's the backdrop for the work of Professor Angelina Godoy, who runs the University of Washington's Center for Human Rights. She says one reason the war dragged on for more than a decade was that the U.S. helped bankroll the Salvadoran government's war.
And so this overblown fear of communism led the Salvadoran government, heavily supported by the U.S., to engage in a series of scorched earth campaigns against, oftentimes against people that had nothing to do with armed revolution, followed up by on-the-ground movement of troops that involved the destruction of entire villages, literally wiping out entire communities, burning their crops, destroying their homes, killing their livestock, and making sure they could never return to live there again.
When the war finally ended, the United Nations estimated that 75,000 civilians had died. Over the past 10 years, Angelina Godoy and a group of dedicated students have been asking the U.S. government for hundreds of documents. They've already combed through thousands of pages, trying to piece together the hidden history of the war. Godoy joined us to explain why she thinks it's so important to find the truth about a war that many Americans have forgotten or never knew existed in the first place.
To this day, not one person has been held accountable in a court of law for ordering these horrendous crimes against humanity, despite the fact that everyone knows they happened, the mass graves are there, bodies have been recovered, et cetera. So there's abundant evidence, and yet there has been no accountability. But I would say another piece that is equally important is historical memory of what happened, is gathering the story from survivors and evidence that fleshes out that story so that it can be preserved for future generations, and so that people can understand what happened and hopefully work to prevent its repetition.
And so what was like the magnitude of the U.S. involvement in this? How much help did the U.S. give to the Salvadoran government?
Well, one of the figures that's often bandied about is that the average of U.S. Overt assistance to El Salvador over the course of the conflict was $1 million a day.
$1 million a day. And
yes.
That's over years?
Yes.
How many years?
12. And so what that meant on the day-to-day level is that news was coming back and forth, right, across the cables about what was happening each day, you know, things that were being reported both to military sources, to diplomatic sources, intelligence information, et cetera, was coming continually across the transom. And that information is now archived. But access to those archives is extraordinarily difficult. And so that's where we've built our work over these years.
Can you think of an example of a document or a trove of documents that there was a lot of push and pull over and that you eventually did get and that then shed light on something that you were really interested in finding out about?
I guess one of them would be this document that we obtained relatively recently from the CIA, which related to the massacre of Hermosote, which is still considered to this day the worst massacre of its sort in the modern history of the Americas. We're talking since the Spanish and Portuguese conquest. So over 1,000 people are believed to have been killed in this single, it's actually a set of massacres that transpired over a few days. And more than half of those were children. So really one of those horrific crimes that strains the imagination to understand how we as human beings are even capable of perpetrating that kind of violence against one another.
And again, this was the Salvadoran military or
correct
people working on their behalf.
it was the Salvadoran military, multiple different units of the Salvadoran military that perpetrated this massacre in December 1981. So for all of those reasons, when I opened the envelope and saw that this was a document that related directly to El Mozote, and not only that it was a document relating directly to El Mozote, but that it described troops firing blindly, that struck me as amazing. And, you know, it's one of those moments where you sort of, your hands almost shake as you're holding the paper. Part of the reason why is that the United States government carried out a cover-up of the massacre, denied that it had happened, claimed it was a fabrication. So while discovering that the United States government knew and lied was not a surprise, this was another piece of evidence that hadn't before been seen. And I think the work that I do and that my students and I do exposes the fact that much as we might like to think these were secrets, we're discovering the truth to. It's actually always been known, right? These are things that have always been known. And yet the United States has never reckoned with its role in that conflict. The Salvadoran government has not reckoned with its responsibility for the killing of its own citizens. And I think that just makes it too easy for us to just turn the page and, you know, order drone strikes in another place against people we believe to be terrorists without ever really scratching the surface to see, well, what's the evidence here? What is it? And if they are terrorists or if they are committing crimes, shouldn't a court hold them accountable? Is the real answer here to commit these kinds of war crimes?
What's been the reaction of the people that you work with in El Salvador, in this case anyway, to the things that you've discovered?
Many times. In fact, typically the response of people is that this information, even if it's partial, even if it doesn't answer everything, even if it doesn't ever, will never bring back lost loved ones, just the fact that they have more information for people who have been systematically silenced for decades, who have been denied any access or even denied the opportunity to demand that their case be heard in a court of law, I think it's also useful, especially for young people who have grown up without a parent or without a loved one, who are always trying to piece together even tiny bits of information, right, about what was my dad like? What did people who knew him remember him for? Like, so sometimes the documents can reveal little things like the color of the vehicle in which somebody was last seen. Those may not be the things that break open a criminal case, but they're part of a person's process of memorializing a loved one.
What light do you think that the emerging record that you're helping to uncover sheds on some of the issues that we're contending with today? So, you know, geopolitical issues and issues of U.S. involvement in Central America and immigration and all these things that are so tied together.
I think the legacies of what the United States supported in Central America could not be more apparent than the headlines we're seeing now of Central Americans fleeing untenable living situations in their countries. And the United States supported those wars, trained people to carry out those wars, provided the bullets that were put in the guns. And so these legal systems that have been built to look the other way when powerful people commit abuses, that those same institutions are now inept or unwilling to rise to the challenge of providing security for their population, right? And so people can only endure so much suffering and violence for so long before they flee to save their lives. And that's what we're seeing now.
You talked earlier on about just being motivated to understand the why and the real roots of this type of violence and these atrocities. What do you think you've learned that speaks to that?
A lot of it's about power and unquestioned power, right? So the power that those military commanders had when they entered into the village of El Mozote and decided to eliminate all of those people, they didn't think anybody would ever question them for that. One of the sad things I've learned is that these abuses are not rare. They happen all the time. And I think the best way to prevent them is by trying to close those gaps of power. And I think that's partly a task for all of us as citizens or as people engaged in democratic societies to demand to know what's being done in our name.
Yeah. Well, Professor Angelina Godoy is Director of the Center for Human Rights at the University of Washington. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.